record the mute. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. We thank you for this time that we're coming into, Lord. I know it seems like it's just been put off week after week, but I know it's coming soon. I can feel it in my bones. Feel it in my bones. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for all the good things you've done for us and all the things that you've corrected us for and gotten us out of the flesh and out of the world and out of all of the things that hinder our walk with you, Lord. And I think tonight that we're going to be led by your Spirit and do the things that you want, Father, rather than what our flesh wants. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you. I pray that the weather that they're calling for down in Texas is just a good soaking rain down there where it's drought and no tarpedas or any other kind of hail or any of that kind of mess. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Glory to God. It's going to be good soaking rain that all of the farmland's going to get a good soaking. In Jesus' name, this is the time that they plant and get rice in down there. So thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? No tornadoes whatsoever. I call them torpedoes because everybody knows what I'm talking about. Hey, Pat. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Teresa.
Well, there was a notice on one of the videos that I was watching that there was supposed to be a satanic meeting in the capital, which is Topeka, which I live right. I'm in Auburn, right next to Topeka, and by Satanists, and you know, on March 28th and 29th. Now, I don't, my daughter-in-law said it already happened, but the notice that I saw said 28th, 29th. So, whatever they're trying to do, I would like that to be blocked. And I've been praying that whatever they're doing is blocked in the name of Jesus, negated, nullified, and turned backward on the demons that brought them in Jesus' name. And those curses are negated in name. So whatever else God would have me to pray needs to bring it to my mind.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for sending your angels up there to disperse this bunch and not to have it in anywhere in Kansas or any of the states around it. In Jesus' name, that they would have to disperse and not even have another meeting. In fact, Lord, we just thank you for bringing the gospel to them and switching gods.
Yes.
And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus'
name. Thank you
name.
For it, Father. Bring their God down in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Bring our provinces down, what that is, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I thank you for the victory, Lord, forever, for your gospel, the good news be getting out there, Lord, and people coming to you, Lord, in droves, mighty droves, and we praise you for it, Father. That revival is right around the corner, and we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. I speak revival in this United States of America, in Jesus' name, and in Canada. The 51st state, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Praise God forevermore. All right. You got an American flag, man?
I have them on my hat. I haven't been wearing them these past couple of days because I've been getting some mean looks from people. So,
okay, all right. Let me ask a question, if I might. Is the consensus up there that they'd love to have that, or is it just completely vitriolic against it?
There's a very small minority of people that do want it. I've never met one personally myself. Most people, they love Canada. They want to stay Canadian. You know, Canada's not for sale kind of thing. And
Okay.
as expected,
Yeah,
there's a
sure.
lot
I
of
like.
patriotism up here.
Well, that's good. That's not a bad thing if they're not leftists.
For sure. Although a lot of right wingers are agreeing with Pierre Poilievre, and I don't even know what Carney wants. I don't know. It's a big mess up here sometimes. I
Yeah.
try not to
Well,
get too political.
I understand. Carney's just
It's
a
a big country, you know. That's his area. I would think that the people who live in Alberta might be more interested in that.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
you
I
get all the
actually
oil.
heard that. Sorry, Dad. Go ahead.
That's where all the oil is, too. So there'll be a bunch of oil sheiks in America then.
Oh,
That's where
yeah.
most of the people are that want to separate. I actually saw a bunch of people that are saying, like, we'll just do like an Alberta thing where Alberta is going to be the 51st state. It's funny to hear all that stuff.
Why is Alberta
They're
six?
extremely right wing. They're like,
Okay,
they've been, well, it's red for that's
you
kind
guys,
of but like it's blue for your
us.
Texas.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Is that an oil area?
Big,
Okay,
big oil.
okay.
Oil and cowboys.
Michelle Atchison.
All right,
And we're
come on,
cowboys.
I gotta take this
Oil and
phone
cowboys.
call.
Yeah.
He's got to take a phone call. So Ben, do you want to become American? Do you want Canada
Whether I'm a Canadian or an American, I'm a child of God first.
to? Amen. We're not of this world.
Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. Praise God. And so, like, whenever anybody kind of talks about this stuff, I don't say anything because it doesn't bother me really, because I know the behind the scenes. And so they all think that I'm a Trumper because I like cowboys and I got the American cowboy sort of theme before I was saved, and they all know I like country music, and so they all think I'm a Trump guy. So, but whatever. There's one thing I can say about his name, though. It definitely, there is that name in the last Bible, the last book of the Bible, Trump.
Yeah, well, actually, it's all through the Bible.
And who knows? Like, maybe that's why they say he's the last president, because the trumpets are going to come soon. I don't know what they're saying about that, but.
I don't know either. But anyway, I tell you what, he's doing a great job. He's cleaning the house, and that's what we
Well,
need him.
that could
Whether
be
the
one of the
leftists
reasons. That
do
could be
what?
one of the reasons that a lot of Canadians don't want to be the 51st state. It's because the house ain't clean yet. You know?
It needs cleaning, but they like it because they like part of it, huh?
And our house needs to be clean too. So, what happens
Absolutely.
there? You're going to come up and wash us up here?
I'm not. I won't be nowhere near it.
Let's just say we've got our special delegates too in our Democratic Party, which is the Liberals,
Yeah.
because they didn't have, I think, all the Liberals voting for this guy to come in, only the special vote from the Liberals. Remember that back in the past, special delegates and the Democratic Party, so we got ours now. So took us a few years later. So anyway,
I
I don't
wondered.
know the full extent of that, but it appears that a lot of Liberals didn't get the vote to pick this guy.
Well, that's how Art Carney got in there, is by this way they did it. I don't think he could have
Was that
survived.
Hillary? That was Hillary, and what was his name? The old guy there in the Democrats.
There's a bunch of old guys
Mooney.
in the Democrats. Which one are you talking about?
Well, he was supposed to be the president, but then they replaced him with Hillary Clinton
You
and
mean Bernie? Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
Bernie Sanders? Oh
Yeah,
my.
that's the when the special votes came in, the special delegates, you know. Don't you
Yeah.
remember your history there? It's recent
No,
history that seems to make us forget what's going on, you know.
anything that goes on with the Democratic Party is wrong.
And then you have Madame Albright too, so
Yep.
I thought she,
Madeline.
Madeleine Albright, I thought she was all bright, so you know, that was way back.
He was all darkness.
Yeah, she even mentioned Ukraine way
She
back
was
then.
the Secretary of State, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get off this politics. Thank you, Lord, that Canada's going to be the 51st state of the United States, and Trump's going to be happy. The Canadians sometimes are going to be happy.
Yeah.
Praise God.
We
All right,
all have to
anybody?
be less than happy, though. Praise God.
Yeah. You won't have to have a passport to get on Zoom to come to our meetings, will you? Amen. All right. Who's got a prayer request? All right, go ahead, Ben. Get some next slide.
I just want to lift. I've brought him up in prayer before, but I just had a recent sort of conversation with him. His name, Jake, my buddy Jake. He's it's hard to explain, really. It's because I haven't seen him in a very long time because I don't know if I'm I understand the sanctification before cleansing, and he's sort of in the mindset of, fighting is okay because he does jujitsu and all that. So I kind of want to stay away from that sort of lifestyle because I used to be an athlete and want to do all that stuff. And I understand that it's the type of spirit that it brings, and I just want to stay away from it. But, keep telling him, like, this is what it is, and I don't want to keep, feel like I'm talking his ear off about it or anything. So basically, we were talking about like our futures and what's gonna happen. And well, it was we were talking about buying houses, and I said, well, I don't want to store my treasures on this earth and all that. And so there's a lot that I still meditate on and think about that stuff. And he's a little hesitant on it. And I think he somewhat agrees with me, but doesn't fully understand what I'm trying to say. And anyways, I'm just gonna pray. Lord, I thank you so much for my brother Jake. I thank you so much. He was encouraging to me in the beginning of my walk. We had good times and good talks together, and we don't really talk too much anymore. Lord Father God, I just pray that he continues to be enlightened by your word, your raw word, Father, your true word. None of this religious, none of this stuff that he's thinking about Christianity. Just your true word, Father. We want to be lifted by your true word, and we want and I just pray that it comes into his life again, and he gets this fire that he doesn't need to be so singularly strong in himself and so strong in himself, but that there is the strength and the weakness, Father, and that this level of humility is what brings your manifestation in his life. Lord Father God, that's what we all want. And I just pray that we just more than understand it, but we live it. And thank you, Father, for having all these promises. Thank you, Father, for preparing us for these promises and keeping us weak in the flesh, Father. Thank you, Father, for this poor in the spirit of the flesh. We're blessed, Father, if we're poor in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Oh, I forgot I was muted. I was just thanking God for bringing him in. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Patrick, I'm sorry. I forgot you for a second.
That's all right. Listen, I was gonna just post this link to in a tr it's from te a Telegram link from Laura Logan's podcast or whatever, her page or whatever. But I clicked on it today, and it's an interview with a lady called Nyonka Deaton. She's a girl, well, she's a woman from that was born in South Africa, and when she was, I think, 12 years old, she was caught, snared in the sex trafficking industry, in the in the entertainment industry. And she has a really powerful story about, I'm going to post it. I'm not going to talk about it or anything. I did want to just say that about, an hour, I think it's an hour and 50 minutes or something like that. But she gave a testimony of how God, saved her out of the midst of that. And she explains basically that she was, forcefully raped at 12, and then the person that did so, he was an entertainment, leader of some sort, and then he threatened her to that if she ever told, that he would kill her family, each one of her family, her mother, and her siblings, etc. And just listening to the way she talked about it, she. You can, I could tell that something, she's too clear and too level-headed and too open and honest and expressive about the being able to tell the story. And then, of course, when she got down to the point and explained how she met Jesus, it's kind of incredible, because she wasn't a churchgoer, obviously. She hadn't been, associated with religion or anything like that. So I'm not gonna, if somebody wants to listen to it, I'll post it in here. I'm not sure. Do you know if you can, if you're not currently on Telegram, can you take a link and watch it without being on Telegram? Does anybody know that?
Is it Telegram or Instagram? I thought first you said Instagram.
I'm sorry, it is Telegram.
Okay,
You know
cool.
what? I'll post the link in the chat, and You can copy it over to whatever and see where it takes you or whatever if you want, but
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
okay. Anyway, I'm gonna pray for her because she I mean, just listening, just the tremendous force and power that the devil is using to entrap and create victims in this process. And it is so absolutely traumatic on a person.
That was
They
this
even
some was this somebody that was friends to the family that did this to her, or was this?
No, I don't think there. I think it was a situation where he held a. It was kind of like what's that amateur show that they have on TV? It's where you can, people, no, normal
America's
people,
Got Talent.
yeah, something like that. But it was in South Africa. And it was one of those type of routines. And she won the the show, so to speak, and through that relationship, this guy came in, and she actually had a record contract when she was young to make records and promote and go to con do concerts and everything. And of course there was money and all sorts of stuff through the process and everything, but she really goes into explaining the mechanics of the of that industry. And not only the obvious victims of the the children and the women, and she said, I mean, she said she wasn't the youngest there. She knows specifically of some 9-year-olds that were involved as whatever. And but she goes into the whole thing of the network, and she said that it's this is not a it's a well orchestrated network and system that is in play here, and it is being controlled by some of the most wealthy and well-known people in the world. So I mean, it is absolute pure evil, and just to listen to how the Lord, delivered her, it just brings tears to my eyes when I can think about it, but just of the amazing power of the Lord. Her name is Leonka Deaton, I believe. And Father, I just lift Leonka up to you, and in hearing her story, Lord, it just breaks my heart that this structure, this wickedness is in existence today. And Lord, I lift her up and ask you, Lord, just to you have delivered her, solidly delivered her out of the kingdom of darkness and brought her into your kingdom of light and liberty and love and power and authority. And Lord, I just ask that you bless her. Thank you for blessing her and bringing her into the wisdom of your word, and give her grace just to be drawn to the power of your word living and eating and consuming your word as just as much as possible, and bring her into the truth that will set her free for even other areas of her life that maybe she needs to work through or whatever. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Just fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill her with your word. Fill her with a desire to meditate on the specifics of your word, and just to gain your mind, your understanding. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring her into the promises and into the truths that you have provided us to stand in. Thank you for the authority that you have given her in a new stand. And thank you, Lord, just bring to her understanding, give her knowledge and understanding that she has been completely delivered out of that kingdom of darkness, and that no weapon formed against her will and can prosper. Thank you for the safety that you have brought in her heart and the peace that she spoke about, that she had never known such peace. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for blessing her heart. We send forth the angels right now to protect her in even greater way, Lord. Bring her into positions of faith and strength to reach out and touch those that are caught in this industry, not only the victims, the so-called victims, but the perpetrators, Lord, and turn their hearts. You absolutely came to her and spoke to her and changed her heart. And she heard your voice, she heard and she responded. And Lord, I believe there's many, many out there that are ready to hear your word and respond to your spirit. So I thank you for it. Just pour out your spirit on that those people that are caught in that area, Lord, and give them grace. Make a way for them to escape. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for we just send our angels up through the entertainment industry right now to expose these pedophilia guys and gals. And we thank you, Father, for exposing them and getting rid of them in the entertainment industry and in all industries in that area in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to clean it up, these young girls and young boys, too. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Trafficking, be gone in Jesus' name, out the entertainment industry in Jesus' name. Get these predators out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are right there now, getting rid of them in Jesus' name and exposing them for who they are and just putting them in jail. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay. That's way too prevalent in the entertainment industry across the spectrum. Okay, anyone
Yeah, this
else?
just isn't, it's not just the entertainment industry. It's that seems to be a popular place where they are snared and they're harvested out of, because of the desire for fame and, notoriety and, that comes with that industry. But the clientele base, I guess you might say, is worldwide and goes into all ramifications. I mean, all aspects of society, whether it be governmental or media, business, high tech. It is all over prevalent. And the thing, I mean, I'm not sure how someone could innocently be caught into that. I mean, maybe with the internet now and you're clicking on links and watching YouTubes and this and that and whatever, you could, you could maybe ignorantly or innocently stumble into it. But once one is ensnared in that, the devil, he only functions by force, and he it's very little of it, is bribery, but it most of those people that are captured and kept in that environment are kept by threat, whether it be threat of losing their reputation or their livelihood, or even threat of, they don't threaten to kill them as much as they threaten to kill their family members, and that's a more obviously more powerful deterrent than being threatened for their life, because quite frankly, many of the people that even have escaped that have, many of the people have committed suicide because of just the unable to formulate that. One thing I did see, in that, I hate to, take up the time or anything, but there was an interesting phenomena that she explained, and this is how Satan has taken and utilized what the Lord Jesus has given us, in that he has given us a new name and a new life, and our old life is dead, and we have a new life in Christ within us. And Satan has taken that concept, I'm going to say, and with these people that he brings into this trafficking situation, and then threatens, their families with death and et cetera. And then if they are cooperative with them and continue on, they are rewarded. There's a reward system that is brought into there, into this psychological messed up soup that they have in their minds. And one of the aspects of that is that they will actually give them another name. And she explains in this interview how relieved she was to receive another name, because the emotional pressure and the emotional damage is so traumatic to these people, is that they detach from their own, I won't say their own body, but they detach mentally and emotionally from themselves. And it's, I must be some sort of a psychological protection, self-protection type of thing, that they isolate themselves within themselves as a protective barrier, so that they don't actual they don't feel the impact of this trauma on their body and on their soul all this time. And when these people actually give them a new name, she said it was a release and a relief, because then she could emotionally put that emotional self into this new name, and she could be released to function in that new name. I'm probably not explaining it very well, but is such a tragic and traumatic experience on these, and we're talking children, kids, they haven't got a concept about, things of this nature, and they're thrown into this emotional hurricane, and it's just traumatic. But I guess the other thing I wanted to just mention is it's showing me just the importance of being able to, wow, I'm getting emotional, be able to find the Lord. And to be in him in such a way as to be able to, and I'm saying these things because I know that we are all there, and the Lord has brought us, given us his spirit. But to be prepared for him to use to deliver people of such traumatic and damaged state, it is only going to be Jesus. That's all there is to it. It's only going to be Jesus that has the ability to reach into that darkness and pull somebody that is so badly damaged and destroyed by the devil. And I just know, I hope you listen to, her testimony. It really hit me. But so anyway, I just leave it at that. I'm probably rambling. So anyway.
Okay. All right, Andrew, go ahead.
There's a prophet named Daniel, and the book is called the Book of Daniel. It's not called the Book of Belteshazzar. And I just sometimes wonder, those name changes, is maybe that's perhaps why these four young men got into so much trouble. Shadrach, which is, I forget their Hebrew names, but I think that's what Babylon wants to do. They want to change your name. They changed the nature, character, and authority the devil did to Judas Iscariot. So you don't want the name of the beast. You don't want to be assigned. As Simeon said when he met baby Jesus, that he's a sign spoken against him. We know that that sign is the name, the image, and the mark. So we have quite a bit to be thankful for. And it says it in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But who endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And there's this wonderful song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and it mentions that the peace must endure to the end, and the two are made one, thus making peace, as it says in Colossians, not Colossians, but Ephesians chapter 2, is how you maintain it. I think the peace has a lot to do with it, because it speaks to your creation. And some people will look at that and say, well, the love shouldn't wax cold. But if you take faith that worketh love, and faith that worketh peace, because peace gives you the righteousness, the justification to become sanctified at a future time, and it's all in God's hands. So he's the one who sanctifies us and cleanses us to be more mature in Christ. So I just bring in those things up, and we see a lot of that kind of bad stuff historically too. You know, I don't know if it's right to show a 12-year-old boy Auschwitz. I went there when I was 12, and I saw all that pictures and stuff there in the museum over there in Poland. So it was kind of spooky. You sort of even sensed a demonic presence in that furnace room where they burnt the people. And, you know, because you understand the language of the people, some of them say some real bad sayings that might have been true. So that not everyone was dead. And anyways, I don't know if that's true, that that they weren't dead before they made it into that furnace, but wouldn't put it past them. So we see the immense depravity of what a person can go through going down the wrong path. And we want to go down the right path, and we don't want to attain any indignation as Judas had when over perfume. So we love perfume. We love to smell good, and we have a discerning nose here to discern things that are holy and true and right. So praise and glory to God. I just wanted to bring that up just to show that there's great discernment that a person can get, and you can learn a lot from people who've gone through lots, you know. And it's even more amazing, you know, when you see a person, even the apostles, you know, and Peter, how they're saved from prison, how Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. And it's just a wonderful example for us that shows us things, you know, that shows us things for today. You know, I was reading Acts chapter 12, the first five verses, and you know, those things, if you change the cast of characters in those things, you can see in history how some of those things have happened again, you know, how James was killed. And, you know, even in that story, if you look at chapter 12, you can see that John Bunyan's journey, Faithful didn't make it. And that's James in chapter 12 of Acts. But Peter did. And that's Christian, you know, the main actor of that book, you know. So you can apply those two things together. That's why I think they showed those things to the little kids, because it's basically how some get martyred. And then, of course, Christian meets up with Hopeful to continue his journey. And I'm sure Peter paired off with someone else after Mark, you know, or after, was it Mark? No, it was James that they killed in chapter 12. So, you know, and there's two James mentions there, but I don't know if it was the Apostle James or if it was just another James, whatever, but it was a brother. And of course, there's also, prior to that, Stephen. So, you know, Stephen didn't make it, but he was looking right at the guy holding the coats, probably praying for him. So, and that was Saul as a young man, you know. Hold this coat, Saul. I got to pick up a rock here. So it's sometimes hard to visualize when you're reading the Acts on what's actually going on and what actually might be going through the mind of some of these people who are government people even. And, it's that Judea again giving me problems, you know. That's what Caesar's saying when Paul had to appeal to him and stand before him. Oh, I can see why they accused you. You know, you're a Roman citizen, but, you know, they're always giving me problems over there. So what else was going on? You know, they were mixing the blood of the people with their own sacrifices. So, you know, there's some news items there that you can remember. And anyway, it's horrifying to see what people are like and without the Lord, and even people who claim to be of the Lord, what extent they go to that God would want to show them that they're really not with me. You know, that's what I think. You know, you're taking my word in vain. You're not believing the way you're supposed to, and this is supposed to be a red flag for them, but they can't even see the red flag for them themselves that they're wrong. So this is what we run into, you know. So I pray that the Lord would strengthen us and help us keep focus on what we're supposed to keep focused on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, Teresa. Thank you, Andrew.
This is concerning the young lady that Pat was talking about. In Psalm 72, God rescues. You know, God, Jesus rescues. So, you know, and that's what Psalm 72 is about. So I'm going to say it the way, you know, like it says in verse 1, give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. Well, I know it was about David, but it's also about Jesus. Give the king Jesus your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to you, the king's son, to Jesus, the king's son. And then it goes and says what Jesus does. He shall judge the people with righteousness and his poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. And I'm just going to say Jesus. Jesus shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. So God just reaches down from heaven and he saves, you know, and he'll break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. Again, I'm going to refer this as to Jesus. Jesus shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. In Jesus' day shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endures. Jesus shall have, he already has dominion, also from sea to sea through his blood atonement at the cross, and from the river to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and he and his enemies shall lick the dust. Well, he's working on his enemies. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. That's in progress. For he shall deliver, for Jesus shall deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him that has no helper. Jesus shall spare the poor and needy, and Jesus shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. So Jesus is doing that. And he shall live. Jesus lives. And we his people live in him, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth, and I count his believers as his corn, in the earth upon the top of the mountains, the fruit, and I, you know, I'm claiming for his fruit. Thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city, well, I claim we're of the holy city, the city of Jerusalem, heavenly city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall flourish like grass of the earth. Jesus's name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Well, that's a work in progress. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with its glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So the point is, Jesus rescues. That's my point. You know, and those, you know, and so I guess I'm just going to leave it right there. Jesus can reach down to a person who's having a really hard time, and he can just rescue them. And, you know, he can start speaking to them and telling them, okay, well, this is what you need to do. You know, and, you know, just he can just rescue them. All done.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Tricia.
Agreed 100%. I think the thing on my heart is that Jesus is going to be doing a lot of this, especially in the coming tribulation. And my heart's desire is that the young, when they come in, grasp the reality that there is life after birth. Because there's a system of theology out there, we like to call it the apostate mentality or whatever, that is under the belief system that the biggest thing is to get them across the line, get them into the kingdom, and God bless you and go in peace and move on to the next one type thing. And so when these children come in and God totally obliterates the darkness and brings them into the light in a tremendous way like that, and then after the initial wave of excitement relaxes a little bit, and then obviously, I'm preaching to the choir here. Obviously, you start to experience questions and or problems and struggles that shall we say are I'm not are intentionally left in your soul. And I believe that the Lord leaves certain things in our soul so that we can learn to overcome them, learn to overcome and grasp His faith, His truth, and overcome these things and grow on our own. And only Jesus as the wisdom, as the author and the finisher of our faith, he knows exactly what we need in order to learn to overcome and to enter into that sonship that he has birthed us all into. And there's types of it in the scripture, with Joshua coming in to take the land, and he's not going to, they will take it, but they won't take all of the land. He's going to leave some people in the land in order, to, because if he took all of the opposition out, the beast, excuse me, would overrun the land. So he takes it out. systematic city by city and that sort of thing. You know, we have probably grown comfortable with the fact and the knowledge that God has prepared a wilderness experience for all of us so that we can learn to overcome these things and to enter into that fullness of life that he's given us. And so that's my desire and prayer for these people, even this young lady. I won't say she's a young lady, she's 42 years old. But that, you know, that the children coming out of these this that God mercifully and powerfully delivers will have that added perspective that they need to press on and keep going on and keep finding higher and higher levels of the ability of God to rescue and deliver and provide and for everything they need in their life. So that's just you know, and I think God is preparing us and many others to understand that the ministry, the major amount of the ministry that will need to really take place is after the revival. You know, in the process of this revival, there's going to be births and there's going to be people that, you know, that need to be raised up and that need to be helped and assisted and need to learn how to cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and all these sort of things. He needs, you know, a body that is able to allow that to happen. And I believe that's, you know, he is building that temple, so to speak, you know, as we speak. So praise the Lord. And I just, you know, we're heading for extraordinarily powerful and good times, I believe that you know that Jesus is preparing his body to be able to minister like Jesus, so praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, you know, I don't know if I can't remember if it's Syria or Iran where Jesus is showing up in families and turning them to Christianity and they're closing down mosques and all of that. Does anybody remember what country that was? But go ahead, Missy.
You mean we're like 75,000 mosques closed? That's Iran.
Yeah. Okay, so it looks like Iran's turning Christian because Jesus has been showing up, and he can do the same thing with a lot of people. You know what makes Jesus do that? Our prayers. Our believing prayers. He can do that. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I sometimes wonder, you know, you can talk to friends and family members and just people on the street. You don't preach to them, you don't say the Bible verse, but you say what's in the Bible verse. And they'll say, you know, that sounds like common sense there, you know, it sounds like really good, you know, but that's still an assemblance of what the Word of God is, you see, and its power in that word. And maybe that was something they could be picking up, you know, just because, you know, the word's been around the people for so long in Europe and in North America, the people from the European languages, that they're so used to hearing things. And then sometimes the Lord can do that. If you do that, where you give verses or word of God to people, and they don't really know where this word's coming from, But it's the truth, and it's the right word, and it's by the Spirit of God and the power of God. Could God use that, you know, to implement things into people? You know, it's kind of like covertly bringing the word to a person, and then they hear it, and then they say, yeah, that sounds good, you know, and then they just repeat it. And they say, no, I'm gonna go with that because it sounds right, you know. It's springtime. There's only males and female animals that are going to get together, and you know, how come nature can get it right but man can't? So you know, you just say some of these things in a calm, but say it in the power of God, you know. And that's an example. I'm just using that as an example, you know, as to how in some of these places where they really can't say anything, because if they say they're Christian, they'll be destroyed right away. So, and of course, it's kind of like putting up feelers to have people converted, or the John 6:44, you know, where Jesus says, no one can come unto me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So, you know, there's those predestined people that still have to be called, you know. Are there some still there, you know? So I was just wondering if that's the way God does it. You know, he and they're putting this word out. God's doing it through people. He could do it through anyone. And the people are hearing this, and they're saying, you know, out of all this crazy goofiness that's going on in the world, this seems to be much more sensible. And then God can draw them through that and build them up. I'm just thinking out of the box here. And that's what I sometimes wonder, you know. Anyway, that's what was just going through my head when Pat mentioned whatever he mentioned. I can't remember now. But it's just how powerful is this when you speak it, you know? For no word of God shall be void of power. Let's be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. But what does that really mean? You know what I mean? I'm not saying you're tricking anyone, you know. I'm just saying you're doing what God told you to do. Because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, they say, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me, you know. And because I remember back in high school, the teacher did his whole study. It was like 40 minutes, and it was all about evolution. And he looked up at the clock, and he said, but some people don't believe this. A student's hand went up, and he said, what do you mean, sir? And then he cleared his throat, and he said, some people believe in creation. And then the student said, oh, you don't have to worry about that, sir. But why would God have me even remember that from grade 11, you know? And it's the only time I ever heard a teacher defend creation. And because we got from kindergarten to grade 12 and then a college or university, and you get 30 seconds of God's word in all my schooling, you know? And they tell you millions and millions of years ago, and then in grade 3 or 4, man is 3.5 million years old. They're setting you up. They're giving you half of the trick with a lie, you know. So, and I believe that something did happen at the end of the 18th century that put a progress, a faster progress to bigger wars throughout the world, Napoleonic Wars and First World War and Second World War. These wars are massively killing a lot of people. They're repeating the way of Cain all over again, just before that terrible day of the flood of Noah. So we're getting the 3 and 7 of Second Peter now. You know, and there's a parallel there. And you know, but know, there's lots of different verses and words you can speak to people. I heard on one of the studies where a bunch of people got together in South Africa to talk about the light. And even though all these different religions came together, they all had a different way of getting to that light. But we know that that light, because of what it says in John, in him was life, and this life is the light of men. We get the life of Jesus with that light. So, but they get the light from law. They don't get light through love or life through the love and the life of Christ being copied in them. Jesus is multi-present in many people as a new life, and it's the light in you. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. So to us, light is our very existence and life within us. And we all have a lamp within us that lights up. And the oil for that lamp is part of our name, that we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens, because even when you all got baptized, we were baptized into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. So the name is something we carry with us. We constantly carry our table in the wilderness, and it has 12 loaves on it. And we carry our altar. We carry our Ark of the Covenant with us constantly. Do we not? Because he's there. The presence is there. We carry that Ark of the Covenant with us into battle. You know, it may be in the shape of a sword and armor, but we have the presence of the Lord with us. We have the bread. We have the lamp within us. We have the altar to pray. You have to really meditate, even like Pat's thing. He saw, he was meditating on that. He had some sorrow for that person, and seeing how God could deliver a person from such gross darkness and wickedness, and that's a wonder. He cut to his heart. He was compassionate and happy for this thing to happen to her, and we're concerned about the people who do get saved, you know. And a couple of, like, I was in a bus stop there, and it rained, and we ducked into the bus stop on a Sunday morning, and the guy was from Congo, Africa, and I started to talk to him about the Lord, and I said, you know, there's one thing I don't like, is when the pastors call us sinners, and of course his face went round. And then I had to remind him about his baptism there. I had to remind him, you know, we're free from sin. We're not sinners. So is it possible that some of these people are getting saved, and then 2 months later, after they're even baptized, they're told that they're sinners again? You know, and they don't realize that they're free from sin, because that's what the information I got. He gave me an address to the church he was going to that Sunday, and he wanted me to come over and tell everybody. And I'm scratching my head thinking about this all the way home, carrying my groceries, put them away, sat in his chair, looked at the thing, and I said, I don't want to go there. If I go there, maybe I'll be thinking I'm a sinner too. After you're free from sin, I told him, you know, reckon yourself dead to sin indeed and alive to God. And you know, there's Romans 6:14, you know, for sin shall not have dominion, or I don't know what version, lord it over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. And you tell him he's the new man. What's the 18th verse there? You're enslaved to righteousness now. And the 22nd verse, free from sin, enslaved to God, bearing fruit unto sanctification, unto eternal life. Something like that anyway. So where is it that we're supposed to be sinners after we're saved? It's nowhere, you know. And they say, one of the things they say is, God doesn't see your sin. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. That was a big saying back then. And when someone explained that to me once, it was David Eales, and he said, there's lies in that statement. You know, he sees your sin. There, it's condition and unconditional eternal. It's conditional. The most quoted verse for righteousness is, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. Might is the conditional word, and it depends on faith that worketh love. So what are they doing to some of the people? And this is a myriad of different words, you know. Are they truly denying the master who bought them and actually teaching it? So I would hope that people would be delivered from all that, because you're going to get a lot of prodigal sons, and everyone's going to have to be left alone, and Jesus is going to be constantly going out there to try to put these sheep back on his shoulders to take them back in. It's a good thing he's got a lot of angels to do that. So, you know, it's hardening. It's people need correction, and people need to buckle down and mature in the Lord. And mature. Jesus is the most mature. He's old. He didn't get to be over 33. So, it's not gray hair and wrinkles on our face, but it should be that way. But you know, the older you are, you have to remember Philippians chapter 3, because the devil's always reminding us of our past. So, you know, what's past is past. Live in the present and the future. What's the verse say? To forget those things behind and move on things forward. Live in the present and the future, and we know what the future holds. And it's kind of like a 3.5 year test that you have to pass. But like I say, in chapter 12, he showed me, because I read that chapter today, you have faithful, who is James, who didn't make it, but he went on his chariot to heaven, I'll tell you. And then you have Peter, who was in prison, and then the chains fell off of him, and he walked right out of, walked through all the doors, right out of the city. As a matter of fact, the angel was shielding him when he walked out of the city so that no one would see him, because there's always someone on the wall of the city looking out, and they would have saw him leaving. So he had to wait for Peter to walk a distance away from that city before he left him. And then he realized, hey, what just happened to me? I thought I was seeing a vision here. And I could just see two angels, one under his left shoulder and the other carrying him out. And Peter's moving his legs like he's walking out of there, you know, and the doors are opening them by themselves. You know, they didn't have that back then. You know, you got them when you go into the grocery store, the door opens by itself. Or if you want to get beamed up by Scotty, those doors open them by themselves too, you know, but, it's not something they would even think of. And that's where these authors of these crazy sci-fis got these open doors by themselves, you know, because they had them for the grocery store. They have them in cars now. You don't even have to close the back hatch anymore. I was watching this person. He loaded all his groceries, pushed it down, and the thing closed by itself. Like, how lazy do people to get these days, where they can't even close the door. Anyway, pretty soon you'll just drive your car right into the grocery store and they'll pack it up for you and gas it up before you leave. And you don't even have to do anything but look at a scanner, and you'll be paying for it all. Is that what you want? I mean, I did watch that little robot movie there where everybody's in a chair and they're getting bigger and bigger because they don't have to do anything anymore. What was that robot, that little robot thing all the kids are watching there? And we're going to all look like that if ever. Like, come on, get up, go walk to the bank, go walk to the store. You don't have to go and take your car or truck because it's a couple of blocks away. You know, unless you live in Canada and it snows that day. Anyway, praise and glory to God. I hope it comforts people that we remember we have a sovereign God and Father over all things. And we might wonder why it takes so long for things to get done, but you shouldn't, because it's already done. So, I'm in a place now where I'm kind of afraid of my father because he knows that I know something and it's already done. So why do I have to wait? I shouldn't be waiting. And maybe he's cleaning me up the best he can and sanctifying me. Just how powerful is this word, and what does it really mean to us? What, how should we really believe? Really. This ain't no game we're playing here. But he does mention about a game and being a good soldier and running the race well. So maybe because people like to do all these gaming things nowadays that I played a few of these video games, and I'm telling you, get really close combat there, and it ain't too good what you see at the end. That they're very graphic with it, and it's just something you shouldn't be doing. But it is for real, and that's what's happening for real. They show the dead bodies on the ground for some of these war documentaries, and they even show it on the news now. So it's not like they were all there when that tower fell on those 17 people, but it was sad news. It was sad news when we lost the Avro Arrow jet plane too, and all our engineers went to go work for you Americans. So what are you talking about, Canada being? We're already all American. Praise God. No, we're not American. We're us, US, It says that in the Bible. Let us, that's not just for Americans, And the let us is Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That's the let us. And have some croutons on top too of your lettuce, because then you really will be a king. So eat that bread. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Pat.
I was just thinking, that many. I think there's a significant amount of people in the system, the religious system today, that are in a holding pattern, so to speak, because inwardly they don't know where to go. But subtly, I believe they have rejected the or maybe spiritually they have rejected, maybe they haven't formulated the thinking clearly but they have inwardly rejected the presentation or the Jesus that they had been presented. And I know that this is a fact in the world, that there are a significant amount of people that have rejected the Jesus that has been presented. that is presented in the world today. And and of course, many of them have just turned their back and went into the, continued on in the world wherever. But I believe there is a significant amount that they are in a holding pattern, and they're really just waiting to see the real Jesus. And it reminds me of that scripture. It's in Corinthians. Which one am I thinking? That demonstration of power, not by words only, but by demonstration. Word. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul was talking. He says, "For I determined," but there was a point, before I can start this, there was a point that a individual made about Corinthians. He said that the Corinthian church, was the only church that Paul said, "I can't speak to you as spiritual, the spiritual things of God, because you are carnal and you cannot bear it," or something like that. Yet the Corinthian church was the church where Paul gave the most teaching related to the gifts. And explained to the Corinthians what the various different gifts were, and the Holy Spirit, and various different things. But it appears that the Corinthians got the most teaching because they were the most carnal. And here it says, he says, for verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear, in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I believe that we're obviously, in the last 100 years at least, this nation has been overrun. Maybe it's always been that way, I don't know, by the what is the Nicolaitan error, I guess you might say, and has not really demonstrated, for the most part, for the wider most part, the power of God, and the coupled with the truth of the word, in the word of God. And they have rather, instead of demonstrating the power of God, they have drifted towards teaching, learning, teach all these lessons and theological points and raised up schools for people to go through and learn all this knowledge and get all this knowledge stuffed in their head. But the demonstration of the power of God is somewhat lacking, is lacking, for the most part. And I think, even the, what was it, the scripture that I've been in for the last few weeks is First Peter chapter 5. And it's the exhortation that Peter was giving for elders. And I realized, because I, the Lord led me over there, I don't remember what the scripture was. It was for gird yourself with humility and serve one another, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I ended up doing like a longer study and read in that scripture there, chapters, verses 1 to 11. And he's really, even though it is a encouragement and kind of guidelines for an elder, it's really a pattern for all of those in authority of some sort. And every one of us are in authority in some form, whether we're wives as under submission to father husbands, and children under the fathers, and fathers and children under submission to the mothers, and there's that whole structure. And the actual principle and demonstration of power takes place in the principle of authority, no matter where you find yourself in the chain of command, shall we say. It's not a very popular word, and more of a military word or a description, but we are all subject to authority in some form. And the promises and the power, in verse 3, he said, he's telling the elders here, tend to the flock of God which is among you. That can be fathers in the family, or it could be mothers and children, or whatever, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, or not for some sort of a personal gain, but of a ready mind, neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. And this is the thing that really hit me. Having to find out how it is really done. How do you really overcome? How do you really participate in the grace of God and experience those healings and all these various things, these promises of God? How do you demonstrate? The only way you demonstrate, you have it, is if you demonstrate it. And if you can demonstrate it, what was There's you have to have it, you have to overcome, you have to have that thing before you can give it, before you can teach it. And of course, God gives us the keys to these things all the way through our growing process. But when you have to make yourself an example of these truths, these promises of God, in that your example is not only the presentation of the truth, but it's the realization of the fruit of that truth. In other words, does it work or doesn't it work? And in that process, the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus, shall be manifested in that demonstration. And of course, he says, "You shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away," etc. In that particular verse, he's talking about, I think, the judgment seat later, the judgment when, the crowns are given, or whatever that is in the end process here. But in one sense, he's saying in verse 4 there, when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, and I believe that's talking about being revealed in you through you being examples, taking the process, the humility, finding the way through the process in order to exemplify and demonstrate the functioning and the power of God in order to help others apply it. To be able to receive it and apply it. And when that happens, I believe there is the light of Christ, the manifestation, the glory of God, however you want to say it, is revealed, because it is Jesus really doing the work. And then he says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. So this was a teaching that Peter was giving related to humility and submission to authority, and in order to learn to do exactly what that elder has been required to do, and that is to make himself an example. And I think that making oneself an example and teaching others to make themselves examples puts you into the mode of you have to do the word of God. You can't just listen, read, continue to eat and lead and get smarter and have a bunch of library books and this and that and whatever. You have to do it, demonstrate it, make it work. And so I don't know why I got on all of that, but this was humble yourselves, for God resists the proud. If you have to demonstrate the truths of the Word of God, means you have to do them. The only way that that can happen is you have to humble yourself, your self, humble your self under the mighty hand of God, and allow Him to lift you up in due time. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I just ran ahead of the game there. Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful, For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. I heard, I'm going to say this. I'm wondering if anybody has heard this or if anybody has found this or can find it. I would be interested in finding it. But that verse, First Peter 5:8, be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about. It was told me at one time that the meaning behind that, as a roaring lion, that there is a phenomena that happens in lion prides in the wild. Is that when a lion, when a lion, a male lion gets so old that he can't hunt anymore, that he's relegated to a position in the pride as a roaring lion, and their job is to, when they find a certain prey or certain territory, the roaring lions will go out on the one edge of the territory, and the hunters will go to the other side of the territory, and the roaring lion will they will start roaring and scaring the prey away from the roar and into the waiting, jaws of the young lions, so to speak. I don't know if anybody has read or heard about that, but I would be interested in some information backing that up because it's an interesting concept, and it describes exactly what the devil does, because and I'm not prepared to chase this down right now, but I wish I could think of the scripture now, but I was reading the scripture that is telling about the basic bottom line is that the devil does not and has never had authority in the earth. We tend to think that Adam and Eve, or Adam, shall we say, gave over the authority to the devil when he fell into sin, when they fell into sin in Genesis, whatever, three, chapter three. But it was brought to my attention as I was considering, meditating on it, that the devil never really had, he never had the authority. And I think that is in, is it in Hebrews chapter two? Now that I'm thinking about it, as I run my mouth, it kind of happens. Yes, verse 14. Since Hebrews 2:14, he says, since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught or neutralize him that had the power of death. And if you look at that word power, the power of death, that's not the word dunamis. It is the word, I destroy him that had the power of death. It's the word kratos. And I believe, this is what I believe. I'm not sure, thinking the process through, I leave that with you guys to think it through and see what you come up with. But that word is not dunamis, meaning power, explosive power, which God gives us through the Holy Spirit, but this Kratos is more of a vigor or a strength or a force. And the devil simply, he did not have the authority of death. He had the force. He had the force of death, the force which creates fear. But he never had the authority. And so it's like that description. I think he talked about it like the intersection. Lord always brings this intersection back to me about the policeman standing in the middle of the intersection and directing traffic, and you come up to the intersection, and even though that light may be red, that officer is the authority there. He's the authority even over that which is written, and he guides us, through that process. But likewise, and likewise, you could resist that, and do your own thing, and if you created an issue there and disobeyed that officer, there's a possibility you're going to get arrested. Why? Because he's the authority. He is the authority. But likewise, if you had a terrorist group that came up there with submachine guns, and there's four or five people in that intersection, and they're directing people, to go this way and that way, chances are you're going to obey what they say and do it. But it's not because they have authority. It's because they have force. They have the power of machine guns there. And there's a significant amount of fear that comes with that. And they control that intersection by fear, by force. They don't have authority. And you can prove that because if you're smart enough, you'll go back and get on your cell phone and you'll call up the governor and say, governor, we have some weirdos down here with machine guns that are taking over this intersection, and he sends a National Guard there, and they put a few significant sniper shots into the midst of those guys, and the authority then takes reestablishes order and whatnot, and you. With that cell phone call, you didn't have the ability to go over there and smack those guys around and take their weapons away from them. You simply made a phone call and up the chain of authority, and you corrected that situation exactly what Jesus has given us, that authority to make that correction happen in that intersection. Because, and why? Because that which is happening in that intersection does not have the authority and the right to be there. They simply have the force and power. And that's exactly, I believe, how we're supposed to treat the devil now. He's never had the authority. He doesn't have the authority. He's never had the authority. He simply has fear and pressure and force that he wants to throw on us. And so it's up to us as sons of God, children of God, to stand and withstand that devil and turn him away and do whatever is necessary to boot him out, in the situation. Anyway, I certainly do not know why I got rattling off on this, but anyway, that's all
Well,
I
you
wanted to
did
say.
mention something. You did mention something. I want you to explain it. You said I want you to explain what the Nicolaitan ministry error is, or the ministry is, and why it is an error, if you
Well,
want to.
David teaches a lot about this. He teaches more about the Greek behind it, I believe. But Nicolaitan, Nico, I believe Laetan is the laity or the people, and I believe Nico is the rulership over the people, and I believe what it is an offshoot of from the priesthood of the old cut in the old covenant. God was, put certain patterns for us to understand in the spirit, but in and but was never meant to be brought, it was not meant to be brought over into the our new covenant relationship with God, because we have all been given the Holy Spirit. We have all received Jesus living in our spirit, and we've all received the Holy Spirit to enliven and set free and empower that life of Jesus within us. And Jesus is made all that happen in order to give his body the gifts necessary to display the fullness of God in us. And I think Andrew could probably tell us about Ephesians, the church and the body makeup in Ephesians there. I think it's Ephesians, what, 5 or 4 or something like that. But so I think it's a holdover of a religious system from an old covenant priesthood type of functioning. And the problem is, it is so easy for people to adopt and get into, because it simply means you can come and be a listener and hear all that you want to hear. And it's one person up there in front that's his responsibility to do all the work, all the teaching, all the understanding, and all I do is just suck up the milk of the word, so to speak. And it doesn't allow Jesus to live in us and express himself through the gifts and through the spirit and through doing his word, as opposed to just sitting and consuming it. Don't you agree?
In a way, yeah. That's pretty good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Like I said, I was reading Acts chapter 12, and 12 and 2 is where Herod actually takes the sword and kills a brother. And at the end of 12, that very same person passes away. And when he passes away, the word increases in that geographical region. So I was just looked at it again. So you see, he was a governmental ruler, but he saw that when he did kill this brother of ours, James, that it pleased the Nicolaitan era people at that time, even though God was still trying to reach them in the book of Acts, and many of the priests and religious group did become disciples of Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to mention that as an example of that that error there. And we know that we're supposed to escape the wrath to come, and apparently people have been repeating this kind of scenario that has happened in chapter 12 many times in history, and it's a bit uncomfortable to say that, but they've done this, you know, where even the government actually helped people in the past. You know, they didn't want to come against the conscience of this man. They didn't want to come against the conscience of John Wesley, the King of England. And he let him continue because he had some people there when the king wanted to know about him at that time that said, no, he loves you, King. He's a good man. He's helping your people. He's building churches, you know, and he's helping the people who don't really get to go to church because they don't have the nice clothing to go in the church buildings and stuff. So, you know, he was doing something that was going to produce work in the country of England at that time. And they didn't want to come against his conscience. And the same with another king over there in Germany when it was Martin Luther. You know, he didn't want to come against his consciousness because this Bavarian king said, well, wait a minute, he's a priest. He studied law too, you know, and he didn't like law, and he went into the church, and now he's getting quite popular because the Lord showed him something in the Word, and of course these translations that these people did is now common knowledge, even in that church. And we really have to examine as to why some of the things happen in history. You know, we have to use scripture to prove these things. And we can prove it by parallel just by looking at the seven churches. One of them, the three out of seven had Satan present in it. And these things that we know are not holy and good have happened in history, even within our own families, because I'm sure quite a few people lost a lot of relatives during the last World War, the last two of them. And it really doesn't point to the Christian behavior, which is supposed to be in that European continent. So I believe that if you look hard enough at the book of Job, the first two chapters, we know where these wars come from. So especially amongst people who are supposed to be brethren, you know, and that's the explanation. You know, Satan is present in the church. You know, it was in the very next generation in the seven churches, not more than 35 years went by, where this happened to those seven cities. And Paul got a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and a discerning of spirits about all these churches. He didn't go there with a clipboard. He was in prison. So if you can relay this to the people, it's much easier to relay it to some people who are perhaps in Christ, but still need to be filled more so with the Holy Spirit, or even understand that the discerning of spirits is a gift, you know, and you should realize that this has happened in the history. I think that's one that was restored since the Dark Ages. So one of the gifts anyway, and usually they come in tandem with a word of knowledge too. So that might be a good way of explaining things, you know, but how much can you say to the people who are in need from the Lord? It's not us. We can't do anything. You know, we can plant and another person waters and God gives the increase. It's still all up to him. He's the sovereign one. But through knowledge comes God's ability through us, through his knowledge, to do what he wants us to do. We have to wait till he sets things up for us. We have to wait like he set things up for Peter when he went to go talk to one of the first Gentiles that was saved, named Cornelius. And God sets it all up. He set it all up for Jesus too. He set it all up for Paul too. Oh yeah, they stoned him a few times, you know, and we really have to know about this humility. I'm glad he mentioned Peter chapter 5 there, because, you know, you go through the concordance and you look up all those words, humility, and you go, well, like a lot of the verses Pat read, it doesn't even mention the word humility, you know, and it gives you the concept around humility. It gives you the living, it's the word of God and active. And this activity is supposed to happen in us, because in him we live, move, and have our being. Don't say you don't have it, because you have it. You just don't know what's going on yet, as we're supposed to know what's going on yet. And that is going to be revealed to us from the leak, because God's putting his law in our hearts and in our minds. That's the covenant. And no one's going to need to teach us anymore, because he's going to be with those from the least to the greatest. That's the covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. So we love our God to do these things. You know, I read also today Acts 12, but I also read, I like to read before the cross too, and then some words after the cross. So I was reading John 17, and it's just an amazing chapter, as you all know. And we're getting prayers there from Jesus. Those are prayers for us, you know. And Jesus prayed them for us too. And we have to count those brethren of the past that we see in the book of Acts as our brethren, as we know there are people who are being martyred even today, who we have this association. But, you know, we love our brethren. We know we care for them. We want to see good for our brothers and sisters. We want to see all that the Lord has for them to be fulfilled in them. And this is the right mindset. And it's just tough sometimes, because I don't know if we don't read John 3:17 correctly. Everyone seems to do the 3:16, but we're not supposed to judge. We're here to save people. You know, and that's what it says. Mentions the world there three times in that verse, and we're not worldly wise men. we're Christ wise men, and we're going to do it because in the fellowships and in all the prayers and praising and worshiping and meditating and reading his word, he's preparing us for wherever we should be, whatever we should do, you know. The least of us have to realize that what's come upon us is not just a happening. It's came to us by God. And when that thing happened to Stephen, you know, what about the ladies there, Perpetua and Felicitas? You know, you have a woman there who can't even read, but she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and her crime is Christianity, and she had to die in the she did everything she could, you know. She was, God was putting his law in her mind and in her heart the way he's doing it with us. And the devil's saying, oh no, he's not, you know. Well, he can go to hell, because that's where he belongs anyway. So you know, and I know that's not good language, but he's going there, and he knows he is, and he don't like us. He hates us with a passion. But with that, we have one who loves us with a greater passion and desire, because the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:3, and that's a promise. So, you know, I you know, sometimes they try to use that on us, you know. You're dumb, you know. Well, how dumb was a person who couldn't read? you know? And you can't do that because it's not mental assent, it's spirit assent for Felicitas. And her girlfriend Perpetua could read and write two languages, Latin and Greek, but she had the same crime. You're a Christian and you're a new mother and you're not going to be able to raise your child. And they both died the same day in the Colosseum. Girlfriend, and they were in their 20s. Tough chicks, man. And tough in the Lord, and but humble. And I hope that the Lord used this Felicitas Perpetua scenario quite a bit on me, because I'm not a good student, but the Lord can make me as good as a student as he wants me to be, because, you know, he can make sin roll off your back like on water off a duck. We desire to be humble. Well, I have to remind you, it's already done. And that could even bring tears to your eyes if you think about it enough. Because he loves us that much. And I can't remember those loving verses. He loves us because he first loved Jesus too, you know. And it says that right there in 17 of John. Oh, it's a good place to go, just to go to John 17 and just read about that. It's you. It's him living in you. It's the activity of the word. You know, I have a bad testimony. I went for a walk. I don't know if I told you this, but I went for my walk one day. I think it was Monday. And at the end of my walk, I went through the mall. It's a covered mall, a covered sidewalk mall. Gave a person some money there because he was begging for money. And then I went through the mall, and then there's another piece of sidewalk in front of the grocery store. And I'm just walking through, you know, I came through the door, and then I look over to where there's a person standing near a bike. And immediately what comes out of his mouth, he just looks up at me and he tells me to F off. You know, I didn't say anything to him. I just walked by and I looked at him and I went, this guy's got to be on drugs. And then he said, I know who you people are. I still didn't say anything. And then I went, who am I? And then I walked. I ducked into those doors that open automatically. The angels opened up for me. And I may have said something in that room, but I just walked away from that guy, you know, and could that have an effect on a person? Because I came home and then I thought about that and I said, well, I think God showed me who to pray for today. And that's the extent. You know, and you know, even if I was to go walking with my son, you know, that's not the first time that happened in that sidewalk there, you know. You could just tell, like, it's nice to be with a buddy walking around and something similar like that happens, but you know, these people are off somehow. But we need to have compassion. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. It's not something that goes through my mind all the time. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you do the first one, the second one comes. But you got to also love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you.
Amen.
So what am I going to do, you know? Does anyone not want to obey that? We know it's agape, obedience. Don't we believe those words? Plus, you know who's inside of you, eh? You go read it in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And then you can go read it in Ephesians 4 and 6. You got the Almighty God inside of you. If you're going to obey his word, what did Jesus say? If any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And it never fails. I know you get all flustered sometimes when someone tells you to go somewhere, you know, but he can't help it. And I'm going, man, he's either on drugs. No. And then I said, no, he don't. He's not on drugs. He's got a demon in him. And I just walked in the store and said something. I don't think he heard me in the store, which was a good thing. Anyway, oh, I'm glad I had to do groceries that day. He saved me by getting some food for my table.
Amen.
That time it was kitchen food. Anyway, praise God, glory to God. In the Amen. Simplest of things, he'll show up. You know, I went to the store, left my wallet in there. She came running out to give me my wallet. Now that's God, you know. I know people just fluff it off as coincidence, but no. We got angels that look after us. And you know, I'm getting older. I'm not getting any younger, so I need them to look after me a lot more. Does anyone not want the Lord looking after them? So praise and glory to God. Please help us, Lord. Please help me, Lord, to be in the light all the time. And we know that this light is your life. The light's got to be on. It can't be off. We're not children of the darkness. We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. You know what it says in the fifth chapter of Thessalonians. We don't look at these words as just mere words. We look at these as words for our living. Be alive. Be in Jesus. You know, what does life mean to us? Is it not a precious life that we're supposed to have? I mean, just be happy when you go to work and they tell you the same thing that guy told me on Monday. Right? And all this stuff on the internet, on YouTube, you know, you could, they're showing you all the different flags from all the different countries in the world in your country. And they're making these marches and doing these things. Well, what do you expect? Somebody planned it. He has to do something. Don't say you're not wise to it, because you are. I mean, even with the best of us, you know, at least he can show you bad examples of the people around you. But, you know, just how much does a person have to go through before he finds the Lord? And how precious is this Lord to him? And do the people really understand that they're partakers of the divine nature, that they're partakers of Jesus Christ? Paul agrees with Peter again. You going to argue with them? No, I don't want to argue with them, but some people don't know that. And they've been reading the Bible all their lives. That's a sad thing. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
We're running out of time here. Okay, that was good stuff. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night tonight of learning things, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Thursday night is praise night, I think. And I'm glad I was reminded of that, because I was thinking today was Thursday. All right, Lord. Bless everybody as they go about their business today or tonight or whatever day it is where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear? See y'all.